All right, AGP, just waiting for the cue. I'm seeing us live on the monitor. Okay, great, thanks. Welcome, everybody. This is a special joint meeting between our Harbor Advisory Board and our Recreation and Parks Commission. It is Tuesday, April 12, 2016. We're at the Veterans Memorial Hall located at 209 Surf Street. Meeting is starting at 4 p.m. For the record, we do have a quorum. However, we have two council members en route. Actually, we have four council members and one more en route. With that, we'll call the meeting to order, and we'll look for our Harbor Advisory Board chair to establish a quorum with your board.
Good evening, City Council, staff, and public. My name is Bill LaFay, and I'm representing the Harbor Advisory Board. We do have a quorum. Lynn Messner is absent. She is actually at Port San Luis and can't get on her boat, I guess.
Okay.
So we have a quorum.
Okay. Thanks for that, Bill. And with that, this is an opportunity for the two joint boards. Actually, for the first time, we actually get to discuss work programs for the advisory board. So we've had interaction and some input from the Harbor Advisory Board as well as staff putting this together. I'd look to our city manager to start us off on the overall outline of the structure of the work program, and then we'll open it up to our advisory board. We can get into more discussion on the particular items at hand. I know there was a request to perhaps shift towards the number 10 item on the goals or the program. We could discuss that after we get through the presentation and then start there. And I know we're looking for some technical assistance on.
We'll go ahead and I'll just ask Sam to maybe advance the slides by hand.
Okay.
Until the clicker starts to work.
Great.
Great. So just real briefly, the purpose of this meeting is for the council and the advisory boards to discuss draft advisory board work plans that have been developed by the advisory board with staff working together with you over the past few months. The next step following this meeting, the staff will compile the advisory board, council, and staff input that happens during this meeting, and then bring all of that to the council on April 26th for their approval of the annual work plan. You advance, please, Sam.
For the record, Mayor, just announced that.
Thank you. So for the record, we do have all council members present at this time. Thank you. Thanks, Joe.
So what are we doing here? This is this process is a new process. It's part of the city's recently adopted strategic planning framework. With the advent of a disciplined planning process and annual goal and objective setting in the city, it's appropriate for the advisory board work plans to be synchronized with the city's established goals and their budget year objectives. That's what the purpose of this is due, is sort of get everybody synchronized and paddling the same direction, which is an appropriate and apt Harbor Advisory Board metaphor. A reminder that what we're looking at here and thinking about is fiscal year 16-17. So there's things that are ongoing right now that are part of this year's goals and objectives. We're really looking from July the 1st of 2016 this summer to June 30th of next summer. Advance, please. Next slide. So this is the work plan process, and broadly what it says is in January and February, the council establishes goals and objectives, and then in February and March time period each year, thank you, the staff, along with the advisory boards, develops draft work plans, and then in March, April, the advisory boards review those work plans, and then reviews them with the council, and then the council adopts those. In June, and then starting this July and through the year, the advisory boards with staff will work through those work plans, and then for new items that are identified through the year, you see over on the right, there's a process for adding things to the work plan, and the advisory board can go either through their staff representative, and the staff will carry it to the council, or write a direct letter or something to the council saying, hey, based on these circumstances, we think we want to add this to this year. And what that does, it keeps sort of the staff resources synchronized between council and advisory boards so we don't get off kilter either direction. The meeting process, I've now completed my city manager intro. I'm going to turn it over to Eric for a very brief staff overview of the of your work plans, which everybody has read, so it should be very brief. And then council questions. And the way we did, the mayor sort of ran this last time was really went one at a time, and sort of questions from council and interaction back and forth with the board instead of a litany of 25 minutes worth of questions and then answers. So with that, I'll turn it over to Eric.
Thank you, Dave. And so we reviewed this work plan last week at the Harbor Advisory Board meeting on Thursday. You've all received it. Most of the items, most of the work plan elements, the WPEs, were pretty garden variety and passed without any major Harbor Advisory Board input or recommendation or discussion. Some, however, did have more robust discussion. I'll try and keep it as briefly brief as possible. On all these as I go through each element. I'm going to try not to go through each element, but I'm just going to go briefly through each one. So downtown waterfront strategic plan to objectives or work plan elements to achieve that objective on the those two on the DWSP is basically work with the consultants and staff as required, with including Harbor Advisory Board input as the consultant process moves forward through the next year, year and a half as we move forward. And assuming I'll just go through each one and then round up at the end. Okay. Goal 4, D, public safety scrub of Morro Bay Municipal Code. We actually started that largely last year and going through all of our municipal code, applicable municipal code items and Morro Bay Harbor Department rules and regulations, not just safety items but other issues and items that we wish to address as a board and a staff, and went through that. We'll be circling back to the Harbor Advisory Board this summer and back to hopefully City Council by the end of the year for recommendations on those. Goal 5A, budget forecasting. The ad hoc committee that we do have, a Harbor Advisory Board ad hoc finance and capital planning ad hoc committee that's engaged now with staff and primarily working on capital project cost estimating and planning type work. We'll be looking at doing a more robust capital assessment throughout this upcoming budget year and continue master fee recovery and evaluation, and looking at new and enhanced revenue sources. So we've got the Harbor Advisory Board Ad Hoc Committee and the Advisory Board as well engaged throughout the year, this calendar year and into next year, helping out on that. And so we could prime element 4, 5, 6, so there's a lot of elements on that one. It's a big ticket item. Goal 6A, Tideland Stress Lease Management Policy, revision of that lease management policy, proposing to begin work on that this fall, with Harbor Advisory Board input and then at year-end, and then bring to council by year-end, working obviously with other administrative staff and looking at revising that policy to make it fit better to this day and age. And the aquarium project already underway, as you know. Proposals out there pending to come from the aquarium folks. We propose to engage the Harbor Advisory Board when that proposal comes in from the Central Coast folks and get their input and advice on that. That would go to council, and then assuming it continues to move forward at the appropriate time, staff would engage with the Central Coast folks on lease negotiations once it starts moving through the planning process. Maritime Museum, also under Goal 6. Currently, we've got authorization to work on a license agreement from the City Council to complete with the Maritime folks for displaying all their various vessels and kiosks and whatnot out in the Triangle Lot, Front Street Lot area. So we'll continue to work on that fairly soon because the museum folks are looking at moving boats this summer. They've already moved their kiosk, so we'll be hoping to get that in place sometime in the next month or two. And then slightly longer term, but also hopefully within June, working on the MOU, revising the MOU that the city has with the Maritime Museum and getting that updated. And then the Marine Service Facility / Boatyard, fair amount of discussion with the Harbor Advisory Board last week on that. Continuing to work forward on getting financial feasibility study accomplished through a RFP process. Main input from the Harbor Advisory Board last week was, while it's great that we've got this private interest, potential private interest that has surfaced with some public comment we've heard in the recent meetings, Harbor Advisory Board was pretty adamant about not stopping the current city process to see where that private process goes, but to work them concurrently so staff would be working both with the private folks to see what their sort of interest is and what their needs are and see where that may go, while also working on the financial feasibility end of it. And those bleed into another page there. So you'll see a lot of red lines in there from what was originally proposed to what came out of the Harbor Advisory Board last week. Goal 7E, improved trash collection and public restroom cleaning. essentially ID funding and services levels now, identify things we can do now that are within budget that don't require additional budgeting, and then bring items requiring additional funding into the next year's budgeting process, the 17-18 budgeting process, the end of this year, beginning of next. Goal 7H, environmentally sensitive habitat fencing. That's the ESH fencing along proposed along the Embarcadero Dirt Extension going out to the creek. As you know, it's fenced already on the west side of the road where the boardwalk and bike lane is, and then proposal to put fencing along on the east side. So obtaining a cost estimate early this year, sometime this spring and summer, and then figure out between Harbor Department, Harbor Fund, and General Fund and Public Works who's going to accomplish what, how to fund it, and also Harbor Advisory Board input was to seek grant funding if possible for that, and then get things installed toward the end of this year. Goal 8C, sea otter awareness, continue the city's current efforts, our department's current efforts with state parks and fish and wildlife on their sea otter awareness materials that they're developing specific to Morro Bay, engaging stakeholders for other opportunities and ideas, implementing recommendations that hopefully aren't very budget unfriendly in the short term, and then longer term, participate in Sea Otter Awareness Week, which is typically the fourth week in September, to the extent possible, and again, engage folks and get involved with that. Goal 10C, records management. We've already begun, the city's already begun sort of an overall records management review of all its records. We had some folks visit us last week regarding what our records needs and what our management policies and whatnot are. So continue to engage that consultant on the review of records, work with them on their recommendations, and start implementing. Now, one of the main elements now is scan harbor records to make sure that we've got disaster-resistant records, because currently all our stuff's in paper, kind of spread between us and legal and city clerk. So collating all those and making sure we get things scanned, and then if a budget requirement is needed to be in place, we do that during budgeting for next fiscal year for FY17-18. And then goal 10E, this is probably the this and the next item are the two items that had the most Harbor Advisory Board discussion and input. Lease management office reorganization, that's one of the management partners' recommendations to consider moving the lease management and administrative business administrative functions up into City Hall, possibly under administrative services or finance. So the work plan elements on that would be identify the functions contemplated for transfer. Back when my predecessor retired and we did not immediately hire a harbor director, the former business manager, Sue Lichtenbaum, and I put together a Harbor Department level of service document that really identified every single thing that we do and who's responsible for it. We would propose to go into that document, identify functions that would potentially move up the hill to City Hall, and then develop a plan to identify and research peer or comparable harbor models, see what other models are out there, and see what the pros, cons, and otherwise are all of those, and then bring back to the Harbor Advisory Board potential models that we've identified that could be considered for implementation, then bring those recommendations back to the City Council. Would propose to do that through the fall and winter of this year and early winter and spring of 2017. And pretty much a ditto on Goal 10H, harbor maintenance. Same issues, same concerns. Harbor Advisory Board's primary input into those elements was ensuring that performance parameters and efficiencies were also factored into the mix when brought forward for consideration. And with that,
Mayor Irons, over to you.
Okay, great. Thanks for the staff reports on that. It's an opportunity for us to start in on the work programs. But first, just like to give a shout out and thanks to the Harbor Advisory Board. I know you guys take on a lot of things. You guys have some ad hoc committees and working on various things for the city, including our marine facility. So I just wanted to make sure those thanks were extended and for all that work. And with that, if there are any opening comments from council, or we can go into questions. We don't have any public comment at this point for it, but we can go into questions. And then I know, Mr. Chair, Bill, you had the desire from the board to dive into goal number 6, but unless there's any pending questions from council that want to, goal 10, we can start on questions up here and then dive right into some of the heart of things. With that, Matt, you want to lead us on any questions?
All right. And I'd like to also echo what Mayor Aaron said. And I know you guys, for years, Harbor has been one of the busiest advisory boards in town. And coming to your meetings, I know with all your smaller subcommittees, I know you guys are really putting it down for that this particular thing. So thank you. So I'd like to, I know we're going to talk about goal number 10. And I guess that leads me up to looking at this list of these goals going ahead. Are there any that you can see that need a higher priority? And maybe you can explain why. I don't know. Do we want to ask questions or do we want to do?
Sure, we can go through the questions that concern you on the work programs just as we have, and then we can go on to the rest of council questions. Yeah. And get
Would
into
you like to hold that bill until we talk about 10 specifically? Okay.
So
I'll hold that one.
Okay. Christine?
Okay. Sorry, I was a little late getting here, everybody. Good evening. Good afternoon. Hope you're doing well. I just wanted to also commend you for your work. You are the most ad hoc board we have. I think your minutes are twice as long because of your ad hoc stuff, but that's great to see you're engaged and interested and have that extra time to give to the city. So I appreciate that. I had an overall question in general. Recently the city had a chance to look again at our 10-year budget forecast that was updated from last year to this year, and there was a specific focus on the harbor this year that hadn't been done before. So I don't know, you don't have to admit, did you do your homework or didn't you do your homework, it's okay. But if you haven't yet had a chance to look at it, I would direct you there and take a look at how the financial forecast took a look at the harbor area this year specifically from other of our areas, and specifically looking at that as an enterprise fund and how that's doing and what some of the forecasting there. So if you haven't yet looked at it, please do look at it. And then if you have looked at it, is there anything that you wanted to comment about in terms of that document and what those some of that analysis has to do with the harbor, your opinions? It's not mandatory. Okay. So okay. Looks like you might have a few people there, Mr. Chair.
Well, I have not looked at it. I did read the report, the staff report that you did look at the 10-year and the deficits that we're going to run into in trying to have our capital projects funded. And so we're going to need to increase revenues, which actually goes probably to your number 10 goal, which maybe is something that we need to look at, because we have to increase revenues or we're not going to be able to maintain the harbor the way that the city needs to. Simple as that. So maybe that's one of the reasons why this is a good opportunity for us to improve city operations. And if we want to get into goal number 10, one of the things that we as a board recommended, is that appropriate to do right now or...
Sure. I think there was someone interested in responding to the question.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Right now, do we have someone that has looked at the 10-year forecast? Ron?
Oh, thanks, Dana. I have looked at it. I haven't studied it, but I read it. And the same two things occurred to me that Bill has just talked about, but I had one additional thought, and that is if you look at trending, it is possible that revenue from the enterprise zone is not being optimized. And I think that there are opportunities for optimization, depending upon how the city chooses to approach managing the enterprise zone. To repeat what Bill said very quickly, there are significant shortfalls in funding the capital requirements to maintain the waterfront in any period of time we choose to talk about, 1 year to 10 years to 100 years, significant.
Okay, great. Well, I bet everyone's going to run home now and read that if you haven't had a chance. But it's very enlightening, and this is a tool we haven't had before. It's our second year going through with an overall budget forecast, and this year is the first year we've done it with a specific focus on the enterprise zone of the harbor. So I really do, please, I'd love to have your input, or all of us would as well as the general public, because you really are very focused on your topic through your activities on your board. And I think Mr. Reisner has another comment. You can't see Chair LaFay.
Yeah.
Ron?
Thank you. What entity or party would council direct us to if we had questions about the assumptions that underlie that financial model and those projections. For instance, it isn't clear to me whether they incorporated X number of years of history or not, and what years it did. And so I'm very interested. I mean, if we don't know how it works, then it's hard for us to make a...
Right. Yeah, Management Partners is the consulting company. Management Partners is the name, and they've done, of course, the Management Partners report. And then last year, it had been a goal to update the report, which is part of what we have happening here that you're seeing on in the work plan. And then specifically, those assumptions would be made by the municipal finance experts who work for Management Partners. But if you have specific questions, other folks in the community have directed them to the city manager, and the city manager is able to directly communicate them right to Management Partners, and there's a real dialogue that's possible. I'll give a chance for staff to respond as well, if they want, or is that accurate?
Yes, me.
Yeah, so we've had dialogue.
I'm thoroughly invested in the model, and happy to go through it with anybody.
Thank you.
And briefly, they took essentially a 10-year retrospective look at city's finances in order to help the 10-year forecast. I think your question was, what did they base it on? They based in part on a 10-year on the actual 10 years of revenues and expenditures.
Okay, I will ask the question and I'll take your time now, but I'm also interested in what were the forecast parameters relative to revenue and relative to costs? Because it looked to me like those are basically formulae that the model is being driven by whatever that data is, and so that's one of my areas of interest.
Okay, great. That's terrific impact. Great input. And then there was one other question before we get into 10 that I had. It's number 7E, goal 7E. And then I believe the document I'm looking at has the red addendum, and that would be the additions that the Harbor Advisory Board made, right? Okay. So on goal 7E, work plan element 1, it's been added in, including interviewing pertinent public works employees. So just wondering let us know what the value of that and what you think we need to make sure we're covering by adding that in.
Well, one of the things that we're a little bit clueless at is that we're paying for the maintenance of the restrooms, but we don't control anything. We have no idea what is being done. And this is a good opportunity, as a goal number 7, that we can do that. And so to interview the pertinent people that actually clean the restrooms right now that we're paying for would probably be a good idea. So if we need to make some recommendations or some changes, we would have that information.
I'm not sure if there's anyone else, I think.
Yeah, I actually made the suggestion, and it was based on I echo what Bill says, but also I interviewed an employee because at the restroom near my building, and he was just telling me about how the restrooms were being sabotaged. People were stuffing items into the toilet, and it was making the situation worse. So then he started going into how much time he spent. I think Eric had discussed now there's a line item in the actual hours. I can see how much time is spent on the bathrooms exactly, but you could also corroborate that with maybe speaking to the actual employees that are doing the work.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's a pretty sad story when you find out what exactly people do to their public spaces, but it definitely does impact us in many ways. Okay, those are my specific questions that were more of a general nature. Thank you. Thanks.
If I could just comment briefly. So about 5 months ago, we doubled the number of restroom cleanings, and then 2 weekends ago, we increased that another 50%. So it's been essentially been tripled in the last 6 months, and you're exactly right. Based on how often we're cleaning and the problems that we find, it is absolutely evident that there is that it's not fair wear and tear and basic use that is causing some of the significant issues. And I met with staff for an hour, probably day before Thursday or Friday to look at the schedule for cleaning. And we're prepared to make some recommendations to the council in the upcoming budget on how to better address the issue.
And thank you for putting the phone number for an emergency number on the restrooms. That's at least we can't monitor it 24 hours a day, and at least if someone notices it, they can call someone. So thank you.
And to be clear, the reason that was now useful is there's now somebody on duty to actually do something. Six months ago, you could have called all day on a Sunday, and there was nobody to actually go do anything, which probably would have been worse.
Great. John? Christine? Okay. John?
Thanks. And I'll just briefly echo what Christine said. I think from what I see, you're one of the most active boards in terms of quality and quantity of output that I see, so I appreciate all of you for that, including the subcommittee work. Just to echo what she said with regard to that plan, I highly suggest that as soon as possible you get possibly a presentation and an overview specifically of the Harbor Department portion of the 10-year plan with a brief background in the city's plan. It may impact this plan significantly, and it may assist in focusing in some of the things that you're looking at. So that would just be a suggestion. I know you want to get to item number 10, and just one quick question of everybody. One thing do you think possibly impedes you the most in terms of being functional and productive as an advisory board to the city council, be it something that we're not giving you as a city council, or something that you have no availability to, maybe documents, records, things? Are there any things in general you could think of that would make you more effective, more productive, that could help you in the many processes that you're involved in?
Ron?
I should have said Ron.
No. Good heavens, that's a conspiracy. You did walk into that one, John. But thank you. This isn't just me. This is I'm pretty confident the whole board is interested in this question. The board was recently provided with an updated protocol for communicating with council, and it was made very clear in a very concise way by the harbor director. So I think we understand the two paths. And one of the paths, does by definition incorporate council policy 1.2.3, but we don't need to, it's fine. We don't need to get in that. What's the missing link for us, and I think it's a long-term missing link, and it handicaps us, is what is the protocol once the board sends a recommendation up to council, what is the protocol and the procedure for council communicating back to the Harbor Advisory Board the status of that recommendation? I mean, clearly the council will do whatever it chooses to do with the relative to that recommendation, and we understand by virtue of the recent update that a recommendation that we send up may or may not get on a council agenda. We understand that. We got the rules. But irrespective of that, in order for us to move forward in a productive way, in an efficient way, we need feedback, and we need to know when we're going to get the feedback and in what method we're going to get the feedback, please. So, Bill,
that's exactly, yeah. Thank you, Ron. You're our resident professor. I think it's a communication, whether it be Matt being our liaison or someone actually presenting to us our recommendations that we presented to the council, whether it be directed by you or a recommendation that we made, and then I give a letter as the chair to Matt, which I did on a couple occasions. What is the status of that and the timeliness of it so that we don't have to question or ask? I think that's really what it amounts to.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. It has been the communication on a lot of different items, and now we're seeing this improvement right here today. With this, when I'm looking at the land use and the waterfront plan and just things that have gone on in other departments or other commissions like Planning Commission, and then we don't know anything about it, even though it is on the waterfront. And we ask, and there's just kind of this, has been this, not a clear avenue for us to get that information all the time, because I hear things that are going on at Planning Commission. I know a few commissioners, and they said, well, we're not hearing anything about what you guys are doing. We don't know. And, basically considering like the marine facility is a prime example. And so I was really happy to see some of this in here. Where is that? Well, first off, with the review and update significant land use plans, goal 3. With the general plan and we being involved as far as at least seeing it and understanding it, I had somebody from the Planning Commission saying, we don't know anything about the boatyard or marine facility. We've asked, but we don't hear anything about it. And they're asking me if I would come to a presentation. I go, well, that's not really my job. So, the communication that we are seeing now is much better, and I think it's because of our concerns that we've been presenting to you guys. Thank you.
And I'll just follow up to say that wasn't a specific question for your subcommittee. I ask that of every committee because I think it's one of the most important questions to ask. And also it was not a pointed question to call out either your liaison or staff members. It was just, how can we do things better? So thanks for that feedback. Appreciate it very much. Thanks. I didn't feel it that way.
No? Thanks.
Yes, thank you. I do have a couple of mostly curious about a couple of items that I know you're talking about. I know Mr. Endersby's working on, and some may be further out, but one capital project is to add to our big and expensive list that has been floundering. Is the fish cleaning station at Tidelands, and I know we're going to have to look at that again with the estimate for the project. But I think I'd like to keep that on the radar, your radar, as well as make sure that we're exploring deeper the potential for partnership with the Estuary Program and Marine Mammal Center, Pacific Wildlife Care. These groups have a strong vested interest in making the improvements there, as well as our fishermen, or the recreational fishermen that use that facility. And I think it applies to goals 6, 7, and 8 in many different ways. So I'd like to keep that alive there. And then the other bigger one that is going to take more time is eelgrass management and looking at it in a number of different ways, whether it's with the mitigation and restoration concepts that I know you've talked about, or it's pollution prevention and stormwater management and so forth. So I think those are two vital things to the estuary, the eelgrass in particular, and affect a lot of different things. So I know Mr. Maloney has some good information about an upcoming Senate bill that could be very helpful to us, State Senate Bill 1363, and I'm very interested in perhaps supporting that if the board and the council thinks it's something that would go a long way towards eelgrass, better improvement of understanding and then restoration of our eelgrass bank. So just wanted to throw that out there, a little curious why you didn't have eelgrass or some form of tracking of potential opportunities with eelgrass going forward, because we know it's such a limiting factor as well as an important contributor to the ecosystem of the estuary.
And I think your point's well taken. We do have an ad hoc committee standing on eelgrass right now. I don't know if you are aware of that, and they meet and report back to us, and it is a very big concern. It's a big concern for economic development because the people that are trying to do economic development on the waterfront are going to be stymied because of that very aspect. So it's a very important aspect of the harbor, and I think we are going to keep it. On the fish cleanings, I believe we do have $25,000 in our budget to look at this fish cleaning site. Unfortunately, we didn't get the full master plan, but I believe Eric told us that we had an initial funding by Department of, could you correct me on this, for this particular project?
Yeah, that $1.7 million grant to Department of Boating and Waterways we applied for a couple of years ago, it got denied the first year, is on the governor's proposed budget for approval this year for the initial engineering and scoping documentation, and then assuming that goes forward, I would be inclined to assume that next year it'll get funded just because they're not going to fund the first part without funding the second part, but it's broken up into 2 years.
More to the point, you have $25,000 in your budget for the fish cleaning station.
Correct.
The estimate that came back to do the fish cleaning station was $50,000, so there's a $25,000 gap. That's what Mr. Smuckler, I think, was talking about. And what staff has recommended is that we wait a couple of months before we go grab that money from either the Harbor Fund or the General Fund. We wait a couple of months and see if this grant can be, if there's any grant money available for it. If there's not, then come back to both the boards and say, do you want to punt? Do you want to do something smaller? Or do you want to find some money for it?
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, and just to close my comments, I just was curious why that wasn't on the radar of the work plan, that item as well as the eelgrass, and I recommend it be added.
Mr. Chairman. Yes.
Councilman Smuckler, what city goal number, please, would the global eelgrass issue come under?
I think it could apply to 6, 7, or 8.
Okay. Well, I think we look to you folks to identify the item.
Yeah.
Although, given what the mayor's comments were, and we've all looked at the chart, the flow chart for how this works, we'd be happy to find a slot for it because we're actively working on it. Happy to find a slot for it in the city's goals or a suggested slot.
So, excuse me, but we have like 10 minutes and we do want to discuss at least number 10 before we're booted out of here.
I don't need to get it falls in, but I'd like to see it in there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted, before we turn into that, I'm just going to make a couple of comments on the question about protocol and communication, and just so we're clear on some of my notes, we do have policies and procedures coming back to City Council. The opportunity there is to maybe include a director's update, and that would be one way to communicate that, which of course could add to time to our council meetings, to which, you know, all of you know that we do pretty well in the length of our meetings. The other one is there is a chairman update, so I think in policies and procedure there is a portion in there, the chairman of every advisory board to give quarterly updates. I think that is an opportunity as well. I know we haven't been real active in that, but I see presentations on the agenda as an opportunity for that. Maybe it'd be an opportunity to coordinate with the city clerk on, you know, calendaring those on a more regular basis. I just wanted to comment on that and to address some of those concerns. And then I know you want to get on to number 10. The one item that I just was interesting coming back from Washington, D.C. was the fishing monitor program, and I know it's been discussed at length at the city for quite some time, but not on the radar screen at all here. But my comment on that is to start the conversation about a reformed fishing monitor program, how the city can initiate a policy change. So that's a long-term conversation, but I just wanted to throw that on the radar screen, see if it sticks to this, and then later on, you know, if the board wants to have more conversation on that, maybe it'll come back to this work program. But I think it's something that we need to address. You know, I've heard it from our commercial fishermen. We've talked about it when Eric and I go to Washington, D.C. with NOAA, Congresswoman Capps, et cetera. So I know you want to focus on number 10 here, so I'll just, you know, don't need to have any response on that necessarily, but with that, I'll turn it over to the chair and then look for your comments and discussion on goal number 10.
Well, thank you. And you know, I mean, I could sit here longer, but I don't. I want to make sure that we get our 2 cents in. I think that one thing, I'll express my opinion here, goal number 10, improve city operations. I think that's a valid goal. I think every operation should be looked at. I think it should be analyzed. And we came up with a recommendation that maybe would be a little bit less demoralizing, I think, is the word that I like to say to the Harbor Department. What you've done here is no revenue enhancements whatsoever in having us look at records management and lease management, or lease management and harbor maintenance. And Mr. Reisner actually, in our last meeting, came up with a different kind of recommendation that might be goal number 10 could encompass a little bit better than these specifics of moving personnel around, which I don't think is going to save any money whatsoever. Ron?
As it regards our discussion during the last Harbor Advisory Board meeting on goal item 10E, lease management office reorganization, my thinking was that as written, I mean literally as written, that goal implies that a decision has already been made to transfer lease management out of the Harbor Department and into some other location, either within or without the city, the city's administration. That strikes me, having read the Management Partners Report from 2008 and having studied the Management Partners Report from May 2015, that strikes me as an insular response to a study that was focused on administrative efficiency primarily, without regard perhaps to the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that, as we all know, one of the key economic and community engines in Morro Bay is the harbor and all the harbor entails. Infrastructure, public safety, entertainment, tourism, all sorts of things. And it's been going on for a long time. That means that there's lots of history. And it's my opinion that the various elements of the harbor, of Morro Bay's harbor, are very interconnected and in many cases interdependent upon each other. And I don't think it's appropriate necessarily to consider any one element in 10C, 10E, we're talking about lease management as an element, as a separate and discrete item without looking at the whole and without looking at it through the lens of the entire harbor operation and its revenue and its public servicing needs to be optimized. That's an obvious statement. I mean, I'm sure, I doubt anybody in the city, certainly city government, would disagree with that. So one possibility, aside from an insular decision based upon an administrative efficiency study, one possibility, and there are many models that not only look at how the leases are managed and whether they're being done efficiently or not, and I have no opinion about that because I'm aware of the leases. I've looked at some of the leases, but I have no opinion about how they're administered, although certainly you have two individuals who are intimately familiar with those leases and their operation in the Harbor Department. I'm more interested, cueing off of Christine's point about budget forecasts and the Harbor Advisory Board, having talked for a long time to itself and with the department and to the council about infrastructure challenges, financing infrastructure challenges, I'm much more interested in what kind of models can be conceived that would optimize the revenue from the enterprise fund, which is, as you well know, tied at the hip to the Tidelands Trust and its mandates as to how those funds are used. How can revenue be optimized while still operating as efficiently as possible? So the city employs a city manager who, part of their job description, as I understand it, is to optimize city revenue and to the greatest extent possible, control cost. The city employs a deputy city manager whose position description, as I understand it, is in part focused on optimizing revenue for the city. The city employs an administrative services director who is highly expert, in my opinion, financially, and very, very, very well informed about city finance, and to include the enterprise zone. The enterprise fund and that area. And the city employees a harbor director who is extremely familiar with all of the moving parts that I started talking about initially and how they relate to each other and the symbiosis between those moving parts that could result in optimized revenue. So, seems to me you have the makings, and of course they have nothing but time, you have the makings for a working group that would focus over a period of time, accessing whatever resources you choose to access, additional resources, could focus on optimizing revenue from the enterprise fund, the Tidelands Enterprise Fund, while controlling to the greatest reasonable degree the cost of doing so. And I would encourage council to think about the lease management element of the harbor operations in terms of a much larger perspective than just what's the least costly way, for instance, to manage the leases.
John?
Thank you, Ron.
Excellent points, Mr. Reisner, and might I say, I think I heard either you or a couple of the other board members say your plan, our plan. First of all, we didn't write this. And the assumption I come here tonight with is that this is your board's plan, however it was put together, that's your working plan for next year that we're reviewing and measuring and monitoring. So if there's a disconnect between how all of that might have occurred, I think you're quite correct with your comment about more of a global look as opposed to a bit of a detail that probably is just a piece of a larger problem. And so I believe I'm, as a council member, wide open to having you have that discussion, bringing back another recommendation for changing this goal and reiterating what you've said a bit more succinctly in a goal statement. So that's basically what I know the process to be.
John. I came here when you folks were doing the goals and objectives, and I actually recommended that you take these two things off the table and that was actually not considered. We feel, or I feel here at the Harbor, so we have an opportunity to enhance revenue to actually put time and effort to have our harbor director dictate his time to put together really a reorganization, I think is a waste of energy right now. We have a lot of more important things to deal with. I'm not saying that we're sacred and we shouldn't be looking at these things, but as Ron said, in more of a global scale, as opposed to take the lease management and the maintenance and move it somewhere else as two specific points. I don't think we should be focusing on that. And I stated that, and I believe Jeremiah O'Brien also did too. And so, yes, this is a working plan between you and me, but we, and I'll speak for the rest of the board, do not feel that we should be dealing with this, these specific goals right now.
Noah?
Yeah, I do want to address a couple of things. I've heard a statement that sounded like you didn't think we're looking at revenue production, and I heard that from Mr. Reisner, and I think there are multiple things in our goals and in our activities that show we're clearly looking to try to improve revenues. And on the other hand, we're looking to avoid having sacred cows or not considering opportunities to improve our efficiency. And I would agree with the adjustment that you've suggested up there, which is to make sure that within any of those adjustments, we consider efficiencies and safety and operations and the quality of service and the product that we're delivering. We're going to do that. We did that when we looked at the fire department, for example. And that was an emotional discussion, but it was one that if you ignore or you disregard or you try to put in the back closet and pretend it doesn't exist, it's just going to fester. So I think it's really important for organizations, and we're doing this, to take these issues head on and to try to be reasonable about it and understand that there's probably not going to be a silver bullet in this, and that we are doing ourselves a service to try to avoid that bias of just dismissing the discussion altogether and think it's going to go away, because it won't. We have serious challenges here, and that's what this is about. And I would fully support the adjustment that you've put in there, which is to make sure that the performance is a component of this and that there is no decision already made. We're going to base that on information and data.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well put, Noah. Thanks for clarifying that. In addition to the comments that were added, Mr. Buckingham.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor and Advisor Board. So my first comment here isn't intended to throw a wrench in things, but to maybe help clarify things and maybe see where some of the tension is. So when I first read the Harbor Advisory Board bylaws and reviewed them again, I did not come away with. So I think a fair reading, you're challenged to come away with thinking that the advisory board is decisively engaged in Tidelands Trust lease management. It talks very specifically about the harbor. It doesn't talk about the waterfront. Nowhere does it say Tidelands Trust. The only area in which you get a feeling that general lease management of the Tidelands Trust lease is in the purview of the Harbor Advisory Board is that one of the members is a waterfront leaseholder. But other than that, it's use, control, promotion, and operation of vessels, watercraft within the harbor, docks, piers, slips, utilities. So it may be that you would want to have a review of the Harbor Advisory Board bylaws and to better define what we expect of the Harbor Advisory Board. I say that because for example, the Harbor Advisory Board has not been decisively engaged or even perhaps remotely engaged for a long time on anything to do with leases, sublease approval, master lease approval, what's best. That just hasn't been something that the Harbor Advisory Board has done. So this is new. I think it was done decades ago, perhaps. The Tidelands Trust Harbor also is unique in one perspective. When we're in this perspective, most of our other advisory boards are very specific in what they look at. Planning is sort of writ large, but public works, rec and park, finance, those things, you could treat the harbor as its own little city. with planning, with public works, with all of those different things. And I'm not sure that that's the best way to approach it necessarily, because it might be delinked from the other things we're doing in the city. So, for example, one of the things we've done this year was leases used to be almost complete. Lease proposal was completely in the purview of the harbor director. It would come to the council, and never did economic development think about it, and never did community development think about master lease proposals until after the proposal was actually approved by the council. And so we've changed that, and now when it's time for a lease to be renegotiated or to be conceptualized, we sit down with the future leaseholder or the proposer and the harbor and economic development and community development and me, because I'm very, very interested in optimizing revenue. So one consideration is I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how to better have economic development across the city represented to the council. There's no economic development advisory board. And what I would, as you work through this, one suggestion might be to have a representative from the Harbor Advisory Board be on whatever sort of ad hoc committee I'm going to assemble to help the staff think through economic development as at least an informal economic development advisory board with other economic development generators in the city. Some thoughts.
We have just a few minutes, and I think we need to kind of pull it back. We have our other board out here too, just in light of that. So unless there are some closing comments on this, I'm looking to my left, Christine.
I do have some closing comments, and I do see all of my, I'm the liaison to that board, so I know they're there and welcome them a little in advance of them coming up here. But what I would like to say, just to remind us again why Management Partners is on the goals, why you're seeing Goal 10, is because the council made a commitment 2 years ago to the entire community to revisit the Management Partners recommendations and take them one at a time and decide if they fit for Morro Bay. We get a lot of feedback about these recommendations have no heart. Okay, I'll just say it like that. And we fully understand that. I don't think council's tricked by Management Partners to think that they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. We understand these are very dispassionate recommendations. And it's really up to folks like our advisory boards, the general public, and the council ultimately to decide, do these recommendations fit for the city? So that's why it's on there. It's not to demoralize staff, because certainly every department has had their moment in the sun with Management Partners. Okay, so this one we just haven't dealt with yet. So now this is the turn of the Harbor Department to, you know, go through the process as others in the his peer group have done. So it's a process that we've committed to, though, for the entire community to look at all these things. So I just like to remind folks of that, because we did make a commitment and we're moving through them methodically. We haven't been rushing through them, or we haven't been accepting them all wholesale. We've said, okay, let's take our time and go through these recommendations. And that was our commitment to the community at large. So I just like to remind us all of that, to just keep an eye, that there's no trick to it, and that we will work through them, and we will do our best to make rational choices that meet the needs. And the last thing I would just say is, in closing, you know, it's a great question about protocol and about how we interact with our boards. And, you know, some boards have more, I don't know if it's the person, I mean, every board has a personality, right? I mean, just like organizations do. So I think that you're perhaps a more structured board at this point, and you'd like a more structured response from when things come forward to things go back. And we can certainly work with that. And I think, you know, obviously your first line of contact is always, you know, the department director, and certainly he can then tell you exactly where things are in the process, because he's right in the middle of, you know, putting things on the agenda, what's the status, and then understanding too the push and pull of other items that need to get before the council time-wise. So obviously, you know, the harbor director is the first person that will have all that information for you. And then beyond that, you know, we're all accessible. I appreciate you coming forward, Chair LaFay, with a specific group. During our goal setting, we try to get people to come to goal setting, because that's when we make these decisions. That's when these goals are set. I appreciate that. And I feel as though I did make this reminder again, maybe about Management Partners at that time too, to just try to remind people that it's a process we've committed to going through. But certainly, additionally, there There have been no protocol for many things in the city, and certainly we're working through that to improve our processes. For example, we have very few of these meetings where we've been discussing goals because we've had very few, very structured goal-setting processes, and we haven't had our development, you know, following along, first council does this, then the advisory boards do this. It was sort of willy-nilly, and what you've been working on has been stuff that maybe it rose to the top just because it, someone's hair was on fire about it, but did it really fit the needs of the harbor at that point? So, you know, we haven't historically been good at this, and I appreciate the comments coming back as we can work on it, certainly. And if you don't feel that, you know, any of us are being responsive, then that does fall on council ultimately. So, you know, please don't feel shy. I don't think you're shy, but I appreciate you coming out tonight and, you know, being very honest in your interactions. It takes a lot to say the things you've said, and they haven't fallen on deaf ears. So thanks.
Great, Matt. Okay. Thanks, Christine, for clarifying that. And I do recall the goal-setting portion of that and the discussion of the management partners, and certainly would support that and stick to the methodology that we have gone through. In addition to recognizing this work program is also a first for us, as well as this meeting. So processes, protocols are developed. The budget forecast tool, of course, is also another tool that's kind of new to how we're, you know, structuring things, so a lot of opportunity. John, Noah, no?
I agree with what Christine said. Thank you for that. And I guess my assumption coming in to just be in partnership with you was that what I read at the top was that, you know, this is an objective work plan that was amended by the Harbor Board on 4/7/16, your work plan. So, I think there's great opportunity on 4/7/16, or would have been, to, you know, put other things there. Thusly, my question in the very beginning, you know, how do we improve these kinds of communications and operations in the future? And so you've given us some good feedback and opportunities to do that. So thanks.
Okay. Unless there's some closing remarks or a little after five, we'd like to
thank
you guys.
I'm fine. Does
out.
Anyone want to say anything? Gene?
Yeah, I feel that Dave was just trying to take our response out of our hands by saying that we have no preview over the waterfront. You asked us to the work plans to review these work plans, and now Dave's telling us that we have no response to that. I feel very strongly about our Harbor Department, and I've been involved with it for over 40 years, and I just think that it'd be a shame if you turn it over to the people uptown.
Thanks. Anybody else?
Anyone else? Okay.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. This meeting is not adjourned by any means. We're going to be moving into our Rec and Park Commission. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Get our Rec and Park folks up on up here. We can get going on the next portion of the meeting. Rec and Park Board, if we can get you guys up here, it would be great. We'd love to get started. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're almost ready to roll. Okay, folks, welcome. We are back into our special joint meeting. We have concluded our Harbor Advisory Board joint meeting, and we're now moving into our Rec and Park Commission joint meeting. And for the record, it's 5 after 5. We're going to try to conclude about 10 till or 5 till so we can have a short recess and get ready for a city council meeting. Hopefully we're not too pressed for time, and we do value this process and the joint meeting so we can discuss our work programs and the discussion moving forward with our advisory board. And Mr. Buckingham or Mr. Taylor, are you going to be taking the initial part of this presentation?
I will. Thank you.
And just for the record, there's a quorum of the other board here now.
Thanks, Joe. And it would be great to open up for the chair of the Rec and Park Committee, Mr. Sedaris, if you could just introduce you guys and make sure you have establish your quorum.
Things on there we go. Good evening. I'm Drew Sedaris. I'm the chair of the Rec Parks Division. Introduce yourself, guys.
I'm Kevin Carroll.
Bob Swain.
I'm Tim Ross.
Jeffrey Cox.
Skip Sarge.
Al Romero.
Al Romero. So we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good evening, everybody. Very briefly, I'm going to give a quick intro. So the purpose of this meeting is for the council, the advisory board, and the staff to discuss the advisory board work plans that you have already started working on and drafted with Mr. Taylor. The next step following this is that staff will is taking good notes, will compile the comments, and then on April 26th, edit the work plan based on the comments made, and then on April 26th, we'll take the final recommended work plan to the City Council for their approval. And this is a new process that the city recently adopted as part of our strategic planning framework. So now that we have a planning process, an annual goal and objective setting, thought it's appropriate for the advisory board work plans to be synchronized with the council goals and objectives. So we're not working at cross purposes. We're all sort of working the same direction. And so that's the purpose here. Quick reminder is that we're focused on next fiscal year, July of this summer through June of 2017. So there's some things that are ongoing right now that are that won't be on your work plan because this work plan should pick up in July and run through next year. This is a flow chart that just sort of shows the process. If you can see it up there, someday we'll have screens on both sides of the room here. The process is in January and February, the council with community and advisory board input develops their goals and objectives for the year. Staff then works with the advisory board to develop a draft work plan. That's February, March, and about now, March, April, the advisory boards review those work plans and then review them with the council in really a draft format here. And as I mentioned, in April, we'll get those, late April, we'll get those solidified so that we all have a game plan to work off of in the year ahead. For new items that come up through the year, as you identify items that pop up during the year that aren't on your work plan, there's a process to get those added, either through the staff. Staff can take them to council, or you can write directly to the council. But it's sort of a balance here. We recognize that there might be new things that come up during the year that are absolutely appropriate to add to the work plan. What we're also trying to do is, for everybody's best interest, protect against advisory boards working on things that may not be a council priority for this year, and thus staff resources and those things get a little sideways. So I'm going to turn it over. I think that is that concludes my city manager very brief intro. Sam's going to give his very brief intro, and then we'll turn it over to the boards to discuss.
Thank you. So thanks for everyone for being here. So I want to be really clear. So over the last kind of year, we've talked with RPC about a lot of these different items, pickleball, rec guide, and all that. We did not actually have a meeting prior to this for this work plan. So this is the first time they've seen the more detailed aspect of it. But they've been engaged in discussing kind of the higher level aspects of each one of these things prior to this. I think we're probably, having seen HAB, a lot less complex than they are, obviously. We don't have however many ad hocs and all that, which is great that they can do that. Rec and Harbor, I think, are quite kind of different in terms of what they do on behalf of the community. With that, I've been tasked by my boss to be very brief in how I present this, so I'm presenting to you my single slide on this. And really it is, I think, a good way to do it because it gives you kind of a high level of each one of these things under the goals, fiscal sustainability, economic development, quality of life. And they are really pretty basic things. We're really focused on fiscal sustainability in terms of recreation programming overall. That's been a big discussion in the community. We've kind of, I think, morphed it into looking at what are the opportunities to enhance what we're already doing through partnership. One opportunity that I think we might start looking into, and we've been talking about this as staff, even as early as or as recently as yesterday, is what about the YMCA helping support senior programming, some type of educational class or something like that. And they've already expressed some type of interest in that. So we have those types of opportunities that we need to continue to research, and that's what the work plan kind of spells out us looking into. Then we kind of go over the budget. The RPC hasn't necessarily gotten really detailed in the budget in the past. I don't know if we'll necessarily do that, but I do think it's important that the staff go to RPC and let them know, here's what the overall administrative costs are. Here's what, and that usually involves our programming, our classes. Here's what, how much we spend, for instance, on youth services for kids camp, kids club, the teen center. Here's how much we spend on sports. And all of that allows us to really look at how those expenditures work and what are opportunities for maybe new programming and all that as well. And so we'll continue to do that. Then we have food trucks, and this one's a little odd probably for RPC, but I'm working on it, and I didn't really have a body to take it to, and I thought this is a good opportunity to have an advisory body give us some thoughts on this. What we're really talking about very, very specifically is potentially modifying the code after evaluation to allow food trucks during special events. Not that they can roam freely on our streets and park in front of a restaurant. We're not going to do that. That is not what we're looking at. What we're looking at is, we already have food booths at special events, but they can only be tables and barbecues. That kind of precludes certain vendors from being able to participate because food trucks are not allowed. So this is maybe an opportunity to revise our rules. I should say food trucks are allowed if a nonprofit organization is having a special event, which is kind of interesting. We have other events maybe that aren't nonprofit related that still maybe drive economic development and tourism that could see value from food trucks. So I thought, let's have a discussion at RPC about that as we work through it. Next is community pool planning. We really want to make sure that the RPC is engaged in making sure they understand kind of the timing of that, how we're doing to set up that program. For the public's information, that's been pushed back once again in terms of opening of the pool. Part of that has to do with kind of going through the permitting process. But we're looking at probably beginning community programming in the fall of 2017. And so they think that the pool will be open in the summer of 2017, and we'll probably take some time to make sure that it's up and running, working well before we have community programming. Finally, city-sponsored events. We have a goal or an objective within the goals to execute very specific events that are considered city or partnered events. Those are 4th of July, Rock to Pier Run, Dixon Spaghetti Dinner, the Trick or Treat, the Light a Boat Parade. The RPC was involved in recommending to you a resolution that supported those as our official city or partnered events, and you adopted that resolution. And so we're going to move forward on the execution. And typically what we'll do here for RPC is we will bring them reports on how we did on each one, and we like to get their feedback. It allows the community to come to RPC and give feedback back on events and how we can do it better. Pickleball, we had an objective to continue to investigate additional space opportunities for pickleball. Right now, there's not a lot of space in maybe existing city parks. So is there opportunity to partner with private land owners, purchase land? We don't know any of that. We'll do some investigation and bring it to RPC. They were quite supportive of the conversion of Del Mar Hockey Rink to pickleball based on a large amount of community feedback on that. And we'll bring that to them as well. And the last one would be the recreation guide. We're really excited about this. We are working to basically build the first rec guide in, I think, 12 or 13 years. It's been a long time, to let the community know what all of our programs, activities, and recreational opportunities are, potentially even private ones. We're going to try to sell some advertising space to make sure the community is aware of all of the various offerings, whether it be from the city or private vendors. And so we will, I hope to be bringing to RPC actually fairly soon their next meeting after the one that's pretty next week, I believe. So that will be, we're actually looking at May because we have several in a row in the odd months. They have an extra April meeting. We'll bring to them hopefully the initial details of what that looks like and what costs look like because we need to input that into the budget. It is a little spendier than we maybe hoped for, so we'll try to work through that and see where we are. That's it. That's the work plan. The RPC does not meet as much as HAB. They meet, I think, 12 times a year or more, plus all of the ad hoc. RPC meets every other month. We have two extra meetings now, one in April and one in August.
Great, Sam. Thanks for that. And as we get into opening remarks and discussion, turn to the liaison, Councilmember Christine Johnson, to open.
Hi, welcome. Thanks so much for working on one of our largest activities of the year in terms of public coming to the microphone. That's pickleball. You all saw just about as much input as we did, so thanks for managing it so well and listening to everyone, whether they were there to support that ultimately or not. Thanks for making that process really positive for folks, understanding that people get a little nervous coming before the council, but they definitely warmed up on the rec, on you all for that. One thing I'd like to do that I've been drawing attention to for all of the boards and our joint meetings is reminding you that there's a 10-year budget forecast that the city is in its second year in utilizing, and it's, if you haven't seen it yet, it is on the website. I should ask staff exactly where it can be found.
I believe it's under Hot Topics right now. If you go to the budget section,
okay,
you'll be able to find the forecast.
Okay, and it's 10-year budget forecast that the council is using to plan our budget for this coming year based on the goals that you helped us set a few months ago. So it's worth a read. It's very user-friendly, and it's a tool that lets us see, based on recommendations, you know, forecast is that. It's, you know, an educated guess on what things will turn out to be, but it would be informative for you who have very active roles in the city to take a look at what the budget looks like, and then in particular any area that would interest you and have to do with rec. The other idea, I don't have any specific questions, to be honest, about your work plan. I think it dovetails really well with the city's goals, and it seems realistic, but I'd like to hear from you whether you think it is based on, you know, what you've seen tonight. But one thing I would just like to mention is partnerships are going to be a way forward for us to also not just expand our programs, but help control costs to ultimately keep youth programs, senior programs, adult programs as inexpensive as they can possibly be for our community. So you all are here on this board for particular connections you have to rec. And if I could just ask you, as you go through the next several months, think of connections you may have in the community or things you've done in your past lives, perhaps not here in our area. What are connections that you could make and suggest to the city about programming so that staff can work more closely with other rec providers to create a more robust, or, you know, more of a cornucopia for rec choices that aren't currently here? So we don't always want to rely on staff to pull everything off, but great partnerships can make for great programs, especially in light of the fact that we're probably seeing increases in the minimum wage, and that will put pressure on us to produce events entirely on our own and staff them on our own. So any kind of creative partnerships or things that are out there that are happening that you just don't see here, if you could either send them directly to Sam or share them with all of council, we'd really appreciate your expertise in that area. So other than that, looking forward to the pool. That's something you want to start talking to people about. I think people are excited. Sharing this information on timing is good. Some folks are thinking it's going to take much longer than that, but certainly getting some feedback from the public to then bring forward to us and share in terms of programming. So those are more comments than questions, really. So As we talk about this, is there anything you want to mention based on those things? Feel free. But thanks for your time and your energy and volunteering.
Thanks, Christine. Matt?
Well, I have a comment. One of the things is, you know, we're here for the public, and we only really get public comments when somebody has a specific need. And I was just wondering if there's any way when we have, you know, you mail out the water bills, that maybe you put in a questionnaire and ask the public, get their opinions. Because every time we have a meeting, I ask the public, come down here, give us your opinions, and we don't get very many. Obviously, the programs are very dear to us, you know, from children to seniors. And also, you know, the maintenance and the running of the physical parks. That's something that you left out. I know, first off, is health and safety. But then we want to see where we can improve the facilities and just make sure they're maintained properly. And then, you know, encourage people to use them. Let people know they're out there and have events out there so people will see what there is. We've never really had among us a real budget. Usually we just, it's what we need to get done. You know, we need to fix the parking lot. We need to make sure that the lights work and everything. So going forward, having more budget information might help us make better informed decisions or make better recommendations to the council. But yeah, I think if there's some way we could track what people want or what, like when we have the big baseball tournaments, if you can include a questionnaire for those people to see where they're staying and where they're eating and how much revenue that's bringing in, it helps kind of balance the money we spend on the baseball field and everything. The pickleball thing was kind of a no-brainer. There was an underutilized thing, and we got the seniors to help us maintain it, and it's a great thing. The one thing I personally want to avoid, obviously, is paving over any green space. That's my pet thing. But other than that, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we have a lot of great programs, and it's really an honor and privilege to serve you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, really quickly, I wanted to Drew had some awesome ideas, and I wanted to be clear. So when we talk about the work plan, it doesn't include like the little minor stuff that we're always going to bring to RPC. The RPC staff brings them routine updates on here's how softball went this year, or soccer, rock to pier run. And we do need to do that again with maintenance. That's fallen off a little bit, I'll be honest, due to the split between rec and parks, if you will. So that's in public works. And that's incumbent on me to make sure I have a good partnership and coordination with the Public Works Department to encourage them to participate with the RPC. And so I'll make sure to do that more. They are, in particular, maintenance is very, very, very busy. And so it can be a challenge for them to get in the mindset of reporting as opposed to doing. So I will try to work with them to make sure we get them to a meeting. I will say, one part of this that I didn't mention was work plan item not on the goals and objectives is the annual tour. And that's a great opportunity for the RPC and members of the public to get on the trolley or meet us at respective parks that we're going to tour for that year. So last year we did waterfront parks. Mike Wilcox, the maintenance supervisor, managed that tour. And that's every July. We'll do it again this year. So we will bring you those, the more minor things. But I think the work plan is designed to answer to the higher-end objectives from the higher-end goals, if you will. On notifications, we are going to be working on a quality-of-life survey that I believe we're going to be executing before the next fiscal year. We've already put in our deposit for that, and I'm very hopeful it will have questions about recreational programming and services, and hopefully that'll allow us to better gauge our citizens' input. It's a completely scientific survey. I'm not sure there's ever been one at this scale in the community. It's pretty spendy, but it's scientific, which is nice. So we'll try to do that, and I absolutely love the idea about surveys for various events. So when we have the softball tournaments, try to work with Karen, the sports coordinator, on making those happen.
Okay, thanks. Were there any responses from that particular question? And you want to move on to Matt and his questions?
I'd like to make a suggestion in regards. I think it's on. The guide development, that's outstanding. And if we could incorporate that with the vendors, the restaurants, the hotels, everything, and let them be another leg to get that information out. I mean, you figure how many people come and stay in Morro Bay every weekend. And wherever they're staying, if they have that information, they say, oh, wait, hey, we can come back in September for that event. They may not know about the event, but if we utilize our vendors to get that message out, it's going to create more people, more times coming here to Morro Bay and enjoying.
That's exactly what we want to do with this rec guide, and have so not only Morro Bay recreation programs and other programs, but also let recreational kind of businesses advertise in it, and then have in it a sort of the events calendar for the year ahead. And then not only mail them to all our residents, but have stacks of them in our hotels and motels and restaurants and everywhere, so folks can pick it up and see, turn to the section for outdoor sports or the section for water sports or the section for holistic foods and not very good on that, whatever that stuff is.
Well, we have a tourism board, so right there we could partner with them to get the information out. So, yeah. I think they're already doing a lot of that, I think.
For instance, I know I checked on this because since I've gotten involved in pickleball, and so I thought, well, gee whiz, I'd love to go to the World Senior Games because I've done that in St. George, Utah. I've done it in softball 4 years. And 3 days after their last event, and they had over 800 entrants, it was booked solid. 3 days after the event. So if you're not on top of it, you're out. So the information aspect is so, so important.
Great conversations. I just want to make sure that we get enough discussion on the work program so we can get good takeaways. And I know we have great subjects to talk about, but do want to keep us focused on the work programs at hand, and it'd be great.
I just want to very quickly... I'm not sure if it's in the research, scientific research, but I'd like to see an understanding of how different segments of our community are being served by our recreation. Segments are currently being served? I think we know some of them already, but are there segments of the community that we are missing? And I'd like to see a study on the demographics of our community as far as rec services, and if there's segments not being served, then that may be something we should consider.
Great, thank you, Matt.
All right, great. Well, I'd like to thank you guys all for what you do. As you are doing this, I know you're starting to pick up, and if you don't already know, recreation is so important to town across, as you're talking about, the demographic groups from young to old and then in between. So thanks a lot for doing that. My question now is, as you guys have been getting into this and doing your bi-monthly meetings, and as you start to see the overview, how do you feel, and looking at this list of goals to how do you feel about the city's investment monetarily in the recreation side of things, and do you have any suggestions along that route in terms of improving it or leaving it as it is?
Well, if I may say one thing, the way it kind of works is a good program gets stronger and draws more people, and the programs that don't work just fall off because of lack of attendance. So that's just kind of how it works. It's interesting.
And I guess I have to follow up in terms of attracting and sustaining programs for the various the different groups. Do you feel satisfied that where the city is putting money behind the intent or behind the
yes, I do. And I know they're actively always seeking other monies from grants and sponsorships to support a lot of these things. A lot of the things we do are funded, and we have to meet specific goals on the returns, and we do meet those goals.
So at about 5:45, I'm going to open it up for public comment, and then we'll have a little segment there before we conclude. Just want to keep everybody reminded. Thanks.
Okay, Matt, I want to comment. Just last year especially, after we didn't do the Christmas lighting, I had a lot of people complain, and I feel that was a great opportunity. We don't make any money, but it's a great opportunity for the city to kind of unite, I should say, or make themselves known that we are a community that helps people out and gets into the spirit of things. And so I know we're always doing the cost recovery program, but we also need to look at, is that beneficial, or what is beneficial for the community versus what's the income? I think we're missing the boat on that one. And like I said, I had a lot of people complain, and when are we having it? Well, we're not. So they were really upset about it. And I thought it was a great opportunity for the younger people, especially the kids, to get out there and get a spirit. And we definitely want to have our community of children orientated, because the kids keep this city growing. We, you know, as we get older, we kind of lose what we're doing there. We need fresh blood. And so I really think we should think about enhancement programs as much as cost recovery.
Any more questions? Okay, good. All right, unless there's any more, John?
My thanks for all you do, especially from my two grandchildren who enjoy a number of programs that you sponsor. Thank you for that. Mr. Cox stole my question. My question was, are there segments out there that we're missing? And I think that could be incorporated into the questionnaire that you were talking about possibly doing. And I think that's a great idea. Who's not being served? And what needs are there that are out there? So thank you for what you're doing. My only question is there anything that council could improve in terms of doing things for you, communicating, getting information to you that would be more helpful in the future besides these kinds of meetings?
No, these kinds of meetings are good. We should have more of them. One other thing that I'd like to mention, too, is it's come to my attention that some of the volunteer organizations we don't have contracts with. Some of the things we've done are old handshake deals, and we just let things happen. I think we need to recognize and work closer with all the volunteer groups, because they do so much. You know, the Morro Bay Greens and the seniors and all the combat gardeners and the people that contribute. We got to make sure that we don't lose those relationships going forward. You know, the volunteers in this town really make a big difference.
Anything else? Noah?
All right, great. Thank you. And I do agree with everything that's been said so far, and particularly I really like Goal 5G, because I think it encompasses exactly what it is we're talking about, to review and look for opportunities, to identify gaps, partner as possible. So very supportive of that. And one item, as well as the pool item, because I think there's still some nuances with how that pool will be designed and used that really requires our community to engage with the school district to make sure that it's maximized as a multi-use facility as much as possible. So I'm glad to see both of those on there. One item that I think we may need to consider adding is, in the past, your board has really helped us when it comes to prioritization of the needs for our capital and infrastructure in the park system. You really helped us do that, and part of that process ended with the work that we did at Del Mar Park and the pathway and the parking lot, which was long needed. So I think we may need to add an item in here that gives you the opportunity to help us prioritize the needs within the park system, and then as funds become available or we see opportunities to go after funds, we already know exactly where it could be best used. So maybe updating that with that work plan, I think is what you called it, would probably be something we should plan on doing. And then the other item that we talked just briefly about with another advisory board, and it kind of goes to what Mr. Buckingham was talking about, was trying to ask staff to work with the advisory boards and council, come up with a reasonable toolbox for public outreach that each advisory board could be aware of, and at times where you have a real high-profile issue coming forward or something that you'd like to maybe enhance your outreach with, that you'd know what tools you had available to you and be able to call upon those in a reasonable way that had some degree of oversight, but would help you be more effective at getting the outreach when you felt like you needed it the most. So that might be something more universal to look at with all the advisory boards. So those are my comments.
The good news is that the tool is the HABs or the RPC's liaison or staff member.
I'm not a tool.
He's the tool.
Yeah.
Great comments, Noah. And actually, I had on my notes the exact one as far as priority budgeting for rec and park facilities, and you hit exactly on some of the examples. So great to be able to see that added to the work program. It's super important as we go through the budgeting process and we need to be allocating funds. What are those priorities? We've had a lot of comment about bathroom facilities in our parks. We did hit the item at Del Mar Park. So, you know, there's other facilities out there. You guys would be, you know, and your board would be great to be able to help us, you know, with that, especially during the budgeting process. I know we're always seeking input for that. So I would just echo that. Those are the only comments I have. We've got about 10 minutes before I'd open up for public comment, and I just turn it to your board, Chair Sidaris, and you guys take it away.
Take it away. Anybody any other comments? Okay. But well, that was it. anyway, was my closing remarks? What can I say? I mean, the important things, obviously, are the parks are well-maintained, that they're safe, that they're clean. The restrooms are very important. I mean, when people come to a town, you know, and it's hard because we have such a heavy influx of people at certain times. And that's where the trick is in your budgeting is to keep up with the highs and lows, you know. Because there are certain times, like 4th of July, when the place does, you know, get so much traffic. But I think overall, I think you guys are doing a great job. I mean, I think the city is in pretty good shape. You know, I know we could use a few million bucks to pave more roads and stuff, and there are priorities. And I'll tell you that it's,
we paved a parking lot, though.
Yeah, but as long as we don't pave around the rock, because that would be a tragedy. And the other thing too is that pool to look at that real hard, because pools are expensive, and that worries me. You know, going forward, that we have budgeted enough to maintain it properly. Because they are an expensive item. But great. Any other comments, gentlemen?
One other comment is in regards to demographics and information. We have a great source of just through the schools. I know just what was it, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we got together with Del Mar School there, and somewhat of about 50 kids came out for the introduction to pickleball, and they had a blast. But we have an information source there to work with the schools to get them to get out to the parents for information. So we have a lot of different sources. We got to just utilize all of them. That's it.
I have one.
Okay.
I definitely believe that, you know, we could use a little bit of outreaching, getting community awareness of what we're putting on. And One program that really struck me, I think we need to install in the city, is when he went to the meeting, the countywide parks rec was the Junior Giants program. And that seemed like a great program, and I think that will really get a lot of the residents stimulated if we have some, actually the giant people come out to the city, start the program. There's no cost to the city, but they just need a field to make it work. And it's during the summer, a six-week course, and they have the team members come out and work with the kids, and it's a great program, I think. Something that we need to look at as far as practicing and get the city to also help with us as far as sponsoring that or getting it going. But like I say, it's no expense to the city, and it's Junior Giants, and it's a great PR, I think, make our town here. We're part of the Giants. And everybody, yeah, baseball. And everybody that participates, not everybody, what is it? They get the two free tickets? Who is it? The coaches?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
The coaches or somebody gets free tickets to the Giants games and all that. So it's a great stimulation program, and I think it's a good outreach program to make us look good. So I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, let's talk to Sam about it. I don't think they're aware of it.
No, I like it. Let's do it.
The timing will be good because they're going to win the World Series again this year.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's bring it back here.
Bring it back in.
Yeah.
Okay, so really, that's all I would think we have
right
to say.
Yeah, really quick regarding, so we probably would place that item on regarding infrastructure and capital review on goal 7. So I'm happy to add that.
Okay, great. Any closing comments? And
did the quality of life item, the survey, we had talked about probably adding that as well, at least make sure there's a good interaction with the recreation component of that survey.
Yeah, and that actually is on one of the – it's on the quality of life objective, I believe, so okay, that we're doing the survey, although it's technically for this year. So we're already kind of doing the survey this year. This work plan is for next fiscal year. But we could potentially add another item to review demographic information. We might be able to actually pull that from the active system. We really need to retrain on that. We've had enough turnover now and new folks come on board that it's a very in-depth program, and it has a lot of power to it that we aren't fully harnessing. So that might be the way we get the demographic info in terms of who's using our current – who's participating. So perfect. Maybe I'll add something like that in terms of reviewing that info.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And with that, I'll open public comment for this item. Please come forward.
Good afternoon. I love these early meetings. My name is Linda Merrill. I'd like to say that in regard to the restrooms in the parks, there is an emergency number now to call, 781-0445, and you get the sheriff. This is after hours. This is when you all have gone home and doing your own thing somewhere, we hope. And there's so I would like to say that we now have a number to call. If you see a restroom that is overflowing or there's a serious health situation in the parks in any way, you can call this number and our city will respond. The sheriff's department will get in touch with our people in our city who are prepared to respond, not just call the police. This is a different number. And I just like to say, when I look around at the boards and commissions, I'd like you all on the council to notice that there are almost no women in our boards and commissions. So in the appointments that are coming up, I'd like you to be thinking about that. Also, particularly at Del Mar Park, the restrooms there are in especially bad condition, and I think the pickleballers can attest to this, and there are people who are going to work to try to volunteer to paint the interior of that restroom sometime. I think we're talking to Sam about that, or whoever is responsible, I don't know, but they are in a crisis. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else for public comment?
Richard Sadowski, Citizen Morro Bay. I live real close to Del Mar Park and enjoy the people playing the pickleball, but I also want to note that that area is a place where, like, we teach kids how to ride a bike, how to ride skateboards. I enjoy watching the roller derby girls doing their practice there, as well as a lot of my Mexican friends were playing soccer there. So I think that it's a beautiful little area that we could all share, you know. And you know, there's a tennis court right there too. But I just think that, you know, it's part of the neighborhood compatibility, I guess. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the two boards. Thanks for all that. Thanks for the good discussion. And we'll start out with any closing remarks from my left to my right, other than thank you very much for the diligent and thoughtful work, and looking forward to having this work program, all this discussion come back so we can give it the kick forward and seeing how you guys will do forward with that. And any closing remarks from the board?
I have none. Anybody else? No.
All right.
Thank you.
With that, we'll adjourn our special meeting, and we'll conclude, and then we'll come back to our city council meeting in about 15 minutes. Thank you very much.